Freedom has invented every useful machine, from the lowest to the highest, from the simplest to the most complex. Freedom believes in education. The salvation of slavery is ignorance. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found secular yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I beat you this time.
Well, I actually paused.
I know.
I'm sitting here thinking, okay, anytime now.
That's fine. I was grooving to the music.
Yes, and you're supposed to wish that everyone had a wonderful week.
I did.
Did you? No,
maybe,
I think
maybe
you just
not.
Said welcome back.
Oh, yeah. So I hope everybody had a wonderful week.
Yes.
And this is our 111st episode.
Okay, crazy boy.
The
I know what it is.
The nerds.
Because you told me.
The nerds will get it.
I was thinking in the right idea.
You were thinking
11C's,
not 11C's.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's close.
Anyway. Bilbo Baggins approves.
Okay.
All right. I guess we'll get on with some show stuff.
That would be nice.
Oh, we got some Twitterers.
Twitters.
I've got Control Enter, Scott Graham, Steve H., Vicky Jones, Tim Robertson, Go Hunt Life Podcast, and Chandler Bing.
Once I was a wooden boy, a little wooden boy.
That's what you were doing with that.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing with that?
Yeah, that's a Twitter account that just posts quote of Chandler Bing from the TV show Friends, which he was my favorite on the show.
Yeah, I always liked him.
So
That's funny.
Yeah, so there you go.
Anyways, love Twitters.
Yes, more Twitters. Mm-hmm. And where can they go to follow us on Twitter?
At Secular Yakking.
Yes, it only took 111 episodes.
Yeah, maybe it'll stick.
I don't know, maybe.
Alrighty.
All right, I have some interesting news this week.
Okay, this will be good.
So, Brownback appointed to Religious Freedom Ambassador.
Nope.
Okay. The White House announced that Sam Brownback will be President Donald Trump's nominee for the America's Next Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom.
I thought you were going to say America's Next Top Model.
It might as well be.
And stop tripping.
I didn't. I'm not tripping.
You're
right
totally
now.
Tripping.
I am not tripping. Anyway, Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but sure.
Okay, I'm not sure he's the right person. He's supposed to talk about and be the advocate for religious freedom worldwide from America.
Okay.
This is a position that was created under the Obama administration.
Okay.
So, but I don't think he's the right person.
Do explain.
Okay, he's got a history of protecting religious freedom, but I think that only means one.
I was going to say, is this religious freedom or is this just Christian freedom?
Well, let's see what he did when he was governor of Kansas.
Oh, okay.
In July of 2015, he issued an executive order that prohibited state government from taking actions against clergy members or religious organizations that deny services to couples based on religious beliefs.
Yeah, so I was right the first time.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. While this seems like a good idea on the surface by allowing freedom of religion, especially for clergy that did not want to perform same-sex marriages, I would never make a clergy perform a same-sex marriage.
As against if they, chose not to. Right, because that's their right just as much as it is ours to do one if we choose.
That is correct.
Right.
However, the wording allows for much more damaging action by religious organizations. The order explicitly protected religious organizations that provide, quote, social services or charitable services.
Okay.
Meaning it extends beyond just wedding ceremonies.
Oh, so they can get out of other things.
Yeah, this means that a homeless shelter that received a state contract or grant could refuse family housing to a gay couple.
Honey, get it right.
Oh, well.
Tripping still.
Yeah, corporations are people, so I guess we could have a gay company.
Move on.
Gay child. Gay couple with a child.
Uh-huh.
Or a foster care agency could refuse to place a child in their custody with the child's family member just because the family member was in a same-sex relationship. And the state could not require them to treat all families equally.
Right. And with that, that's exactly probably where they would go with that, I would imagine.
Exactly. The term religious organization in governor's orders could potentially extend beyond churches and apply to businesses because the Supreme Court's 2014 ruling that said businesses such as Hobby Lobby have a right to religious protections under the First Amendment.
Right.
So, yeah, those corporations could very well discriminate against anybody for a religious purpose.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
So, in 2016, he joined the Rally for Religious Freedom alongside Catholic bishops, the lead pastor of Topeka Bible Church, and Baron L. Stutzman, who you may remember is the flower lady from Washington.
Oh, okay. That didn't want to do the gay wedding.
Right.
Okay.
And she's still going on with her thing. Mm-hmm. And he said, I have never seen a bigger rally at the State House than this one. And it was fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was really a big old Christian rally.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
For Christian religious freedom and religious freedom to discriminate.
Right. What is it? They're always just wanting the right to discriminate. I mean, it's just all it ever sounds like to me anymore. Is they just want the right to discriminate.
Yeah.
I want to really, you know, pick on you, point you out, discriminate against you, call you names, do whatever I want, and I want to have the right to do it and be as nasty as I can.
Yeah.
They're not two-life crew. You know, another human being. What?
They're not two-life crew. As nasty as they want to be.
Is that the name of that title?
Yes, is the name of that album.
Was it?
Yes.
I had that.
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah. Was that the one that was banned?
Yeah.
I had that one when it was banned. That was a lot of fun.
I still have that one.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. It's in my MP3s.
No kidding.
Yeah,
no, so I had a cassette. It was banned, and they weren't allowed to have it, so I used to bring it to school. Anyways, moving on.
Anyways, when Texas Governor Rick Perry, who's now U.S. Energy Secretary, invited 49 other governors to attend The Response, a call to prayer for a nation in crisis, in Houston in 2011, Brownback was the only other governor who showed up in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This was a big old prayer rally is what it was.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. And then in 2012, he was criticized by church state separatists, church and state advocates for promoting a raindownusa.com prayer event for which he said, "We've been favored like no nation in history, yet too often we've forgotten God."
Oh my God, the God thing is exhausting.
So yeah, this is why I don't think he's all that great a choice for actual religious freedom.
Yeah, because he's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's in my head, but I can't find it. He's too one-sided. It's not what I'm looking for,
he's biased.
Thank you. That's the one I was looking for. Boy, do I gotta go take some medicine or something. Not keeping up with my formula,
but
obviously.
This is just another one of Trump's theocratic appointments.
Like everything else he's been.
Let me correct that.
I was going to say, I think it's actually Pence.
Pence is theocratic appointments. Trump's being a puppet at this point.
So Pence is the puppeteer and Trump is the puppet.
I think so. In this situation.
For sure. Well you
and
can't
people,
say 100%, but pretty much.
For the appointees to run the government, basically every one of them have been theocrats, dominionists, extreme Christians, extreme right wingers.
Because Trump doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I'm sorry, he doesn't. And I can guarantee you that Pence is running a lot of the stuff behind closed curtains.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah. I mean, anyways, that's reality. Go back to sleep.
Do y'all ever wonder what it's like to be a redneck with empathy? Have you never heard of a Southerner who isn't a blathering bigot? Well, have I got the show for you. It's the Podunk Polymath Podcast, hosted by myself, Chris, and it's the sentiments of a secular, sarcastic, screwed-up Southern SJW and skeptic. You can find me and the show on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or your favorite podcatcher. Y'all stop on by and take it easy now, okay?
All right, I got another one.
You do?
Yeah, this is about the pledge.
Like as of allegiance?
Yes.
Okay.
An Indianapolis high school received a letter from the American Humanist Association after a teacher at the school said he was reprimanded for telling students they could opt out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Wait, I gotta soak that in.
Okay. So a teacher told the students on the first day of class that they're allowed to not take the pledge. Right,
which is correct.
So some parents got very angry.
But he's correct.
Well, in the letter, the group called on the school to allow teachers to inform students of their free speech rights, including non-participation in the pledge. If not, the group's legal center would be made available to the teachers. So, Dwayne Nickel, a physics teacher, was just about to turn on the day's announcements, which includes the Pledge of Allegiance. It was then that he told the class of 25 that they're not required to recite the pledge. He says, I just wanted them to feel comfortable if they didn't want to say it. That's okay with me. He identifies as an atheist and has clashed with school administration over the years over what he calls philosophical differences.
Now, before you go on, where is this at?
Indianapolis? Indianapolis.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Indianapolis. About a week later, he was called to the principal's office, which is never a good thing.
Of course.
He did bring a representative from the State Teachers Association to the meeting with him, okay. And the vice principal was there also.
Okay.
The principal's statement to him was this, that it was not my place to say that. He said it was the parents' or students' place.
But he's an educator. He should be educating them on their rights that they may not know that they have. Because one thing with children or whatever age, you said high school?
High school.
Okay, so they're not little kids. They don't always know the rights that they have. Right. They have more than they actually realize. I mean, being parents of high schoolers, you know, they kind of, even ours, at you know, initially didn't realize that, you know, they have certain rights like that.
Right.
Of course, ours just kind of skipped the in God part when they did the pledge in middle school, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's an educator. That's what he should be doing.
Right. He said he doesn't disagree that parents and students should decide whether to participate, but he felt it was his place to inform them of their rights, like you're saying.
Of course it is. Anyways, oh, that's what they had said.
Yeah, he said if they don't know they have a choice, how can they make a choice?
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
That you have to be educated in order to make a decision. It's like when it comes to, what is it, preschools, they were doing this thing where kids weren't allowed to use coloring book pages anymore. They only got blank pieces of paper because it would, you know, shrink down their imagination, blah, blah, blah. But that actually is not true. That hinders their imagination because if they're not given a wide spectrum of choices, how are they able to make decisions and come up with ideas? They, people are just... The whole pendulum swing one way and the other just drives me nuts. Why can't we have it even? Yeah. Anyways, that's not
so. David Niozi, the legal director for the Allegheny Humanist Legal Center, said, restricting the flow of information is a disservice to the school children and an insult to the pledge itself. It's unfortunate that educators would choose to suppress knowledge rather than enlighten students. I completely agree with him.
Yeah, I do too. They need to be educated so that they can make their choices.
Yeah, especially because there's still teachers out there who are saying you have to stand for the pledge.
Yes,
you have
there
to
is. Do this.
And, you know, this guy was actually giving them the proper information.
He was giving them, first of all, he's an educator. He was just educating them. They just learned something that they may or may not have known before.
Exactly.
You know, that's the place of an educator, to let them know things that they didn't already know.
Right. He wasn't telling them to
He was not telling them to choose this or choose that. He was putting knowledge in their head for them to choose from,
right.
Which is what a teacher does.
That is true.
Hasn't God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol car? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation. And their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
He has such a groovy voice.
I know. So, there's going to be no Satanists allowed in Boca Raton.
And this is how you're just going to segue right into your title for your next story?
Why not?
Was not very smooth.
Boca Raton, Florida wants to avoid the holiday headache that came last year when a pentagram went up in Sanborn Square and vandals followed. It's considering banning any privately elected holiday display.
So, it's not just the Satanists that are being banned?
Maybe.
Or is it?
The city may, however, put up its own displays, a Christmas tree, a menorah, a creche, and a snowman. But nothing satanic, says Susan Haney, Mayor Susan Haney insisted.
Is that not discriminating? They can't do that, can they?
It may be a little discriminatory.
Yeah, you can't. You can do this, but you can't do that. This person can go here, but this person can't.
Right. That's not sitting well with the school teacher, Preston Smith, a self-described atheist who put up the pentagram last year. Mm. The pentagram was adorned with the words, "In Satan we trust." And the, the satanic symbol was so provocative, it brought out a lot of emotion for a lot of people, Haney said. City Council will vote on whether to ban public displays at the designated free speech zone and discuss the possibility of creating city-sponsored displays at an August 22nd meeting.
So, they're debating on just banning displays in general or in this free speech zone?
So, it ceases to become a free speech zone.
I was going
to
say, how is it still going to be called a free speech zone?
So what it's they not. So, what they want to do is make it so the city can buy and place a nativity scene, menorah, Christmas tree, snowmen, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. They think they can do it without legal repercussions. They are wrong.
Very, very wrong.
Smith said, undeniably, this proves that they want a Judeo-Christian theocracy. All other viewpoints are considered suspect. I'd encourage atheist activists to fight the continued assault on our First Amendment rights.
Yeah, what? It's always their side and no other side is possible.
Yeah.
And it's not just side. It's their religion and no other religion is allowed, period. Right. No matter what your religion is.
So the way this is going to work, they can put up a menorah, but they also have to have another religious mm-hmm. from a different religion.
Right.
Right. They can put up the creche, but, you know, just because they're putting something up that the city owns doesn't mean that they can exclude everybody else.
Because, they think so.
Because at that point, they are advocating for a particular religion.
Right.
The second you put up those things that are obviously Christian.
Right.
Then you're advocating for Christianity.
Right. And if that, especially if that's the only thing you're allowing.
Right. And if the city doesn't put up, so they think they can put up a snowman, which is a technically secular winter thing, right? Ugh. That's not the same.
No.
It's not representing other faiths.
No. I mean, they should be a snowman, really?
Yeah.
That's the best they could do?
Well, Santa, maybe. But still, Santa to me is still a religious figure.
Yeah, to me, Santa is still a Christian-based thing.
It's a mythological.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, it's Norse and all
either way,
stuff,
it's still a Christian-based symbol of a holiday.
Right. Well, FFRF attorney Andrew Seidel says the city essentially has two options. They can either allow all private displays or they can allow no private displays. Anything else is discrimination.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
I mean, it's all or nothing, which this is the case time and time and time again.
Right.
Either you just allow it all or you do nothing.
Yeah. And if they do what they plan on doing, there will be a lawsuit. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, why is it they can never get through their head that they're breaking a law? It's not a hard one either. It's pretty simple.
20 years or more, these issues have been fought, and they lose every single
because
time.
It's already written.
Every single year we go through this with some stupid city somewhere who thinks they can get away with
this. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a law that has been in place forever. It's not like it's something new. It's not like nobody knows about it. But yet they do this all the time and to no avail. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
If you Google, can a city put up a religious display?
Oh,
right. The first answer is going to be no.
Right.
I mean, it should just be a big old no right there. No.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, look at that. You fell for that too. I can't believe it, man.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So we're back with our new-ish.
I can't believe you fell for that, man.
Yeah. Anyways.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So it's our look at interesting and strange and
can't believe that kind of crap.
Disturbing religions.
Right. Well, it's not just religions, though. It's just something like, oh, my God, I can't believe that.
So one of the things I want to do is make sure that they're classified as religions.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't want just some weird out there belief system, right?
Like, I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. I want to make sure that these things are classified as religions.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see where you're going.
You know, that way.
So now this I can't believe it segment isn't just for religions, is it?
Because
that's not where I was going when we thought of this idea.
Fine.
It's just stuff like, oh my God, I can't believe that kind of crap.
Well, this one happens to be classified as a religion.
That's fine. I'm just saying on a regular basis.
And it has a nice name.
Okay.
It's a creativity movement.
Meh.
Well,
sounds nice enough.
Sounds nice enough, yes. Well, founded in 1973 by Ben Clausen a one-time Florida state legislator and inventor of the electric can opener.
Oh.
Nice guy, right? Mm. The movement promotes what it sees as inherent superiority of creativity of the white race.
Okay, then you lost me.
Yeah. Oh, about the only tenets there are, aside from obsession with healthy foods, to a supposed theology.
Wait, what?
Okay, so it's really about the superiority of the white race.
Yeah, okay.
So the creativity movement rose from the ashes of the World Church of the Creator, a post-Classen version of the Church of the Creator.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. When he was sent to prison to serve a 40-year sentence in 2003.
Wow.
The logo group of the group, which is concentrated in Montana, is the letter W, standing for the white race,
uh-huh.
topped by a crown and a halo.
Oh, okay.
The crown symbolizes the claim that so-called creators are the elite.
Elite, honey.
And the halo is meant to signify that the adherents believe that our white genes are the greatest treasures and that we should safeguard our gene pool zealously.
Wow, he doesn't quite understand the history of man, but okay, continue.
Here's some stuff from the website.
Mm-hmm.
By any yardstick, the white race is the most creative, productive, and intelligent creature Mother Nature has produced in 2.3 billion years that it has claimed it.
Uh-huh.
It has existed on this planet. Strangely, however, nature's finest in the last half century has become a highly endangered species, whose demise and extinction is at most only a few generations away. And that's from his autobiography, The Life of Ben Classen.
Okay, I have a question before you continue.
Okay.
What does he classify as his ideal white person?
We'll get into that.
Oh, come on.
Okay, here's some more. We are racist because we believe in race. We are anti-Semites because we oppose the Jews.
I'm still not getting my answer, but we will talk again.
A creator is not interested in the future or welfare of the mud races and shuns race mixing or any social intercourse whatsoever with the inferior mud races.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to play dumb, but then again, it's not hard to play dumb. What the hell is mud races? Because I'm ignorant.
Not white.
Okay, that's what I was guessing, but I thought he was referring to something specific.
Okay, so what they believe to be the white race is the Caucasian race.
Okay, continue.
Originating in Europe.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. What kind of background, nationality is it allowed to have to be this pure white race person?
So, no skin tone outside of pale.
Okay, that's still... So, Scandinavian? No? Yes? They're pretty pale.
So, if you go from, say...
Because...
You know, okay, if you take Europe and go to Russia and cut off Spain...
Well, and that's where I'm going. What about Italy? Because... Italians...
They, from what I understand, they consider Italians part of the white race.
See, that's stupid.
But they don't consider the Spanish.
That's even more stupid. Because anyway. Italians tend to have tanner skin.
Some do. Some don't.
I mean, depending on what part and, you know, what... you're not just the pure white that they're thinking.
Right.
Is what
but
I mean.
The Italians came from the Caucasus Mountains. The Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
The northern Italians. If you get down to southern Italy, then you're getting into Mediterranean. There's
that's
a
where
there.
I was kind of going with this here. I'm heading south.
Yeah. So
where we get more sunlight.
It's all about genetics with
them. That's kind of
not
my
about
point.
Location.
So if they were to look at me, I am a blue-eyed blonde.
Oh, yeah. You would count as white.
Mostly Italian. So
I know.
I would not qualify as white if they knew who I was. For real.
For them.
I mean, what I was really made of.
Yeah.
I guess.
So,
but yet looking at me, they would say I was.
I know.
That's so ridiculous.
You fit their model.
Not really, but sure.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Ideas outlined by Classen in both White Man's Bible and Little White Book for Creators include being responsible, productive, and constructive, to place high value on honor and self-respect, to be eager and optimistic, inquisitive and adventurous, a cheerful zest for living, healthy, positive, dynamic attitude towards life, blah, blah, blah. It goes on. Stuff
so
that's not...
If they looked at me, they would think I was one of them.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So, we're going to get into some language here, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
These people are...
Yeah.
Interestingly odd.
So, if you get offended by the N-word, sorry, it's going to come up because they talk about it.
Uh-huh. Continue.
Creators refer to black people as niggers, and they also refer to creativity as a natural religion.
Jesus, they're horrible.
An endeavor to convert other white people to creativity, avoid social interaction with non-whites. During the early 2000s, they were encouraged to move to central Illinois Illinois.
Yeah, there's no S on Illinois.
Yes, there is. It's right there.
Even if it's there, it's not there.
In order to establish a creativity bastion.
Okay, so let me back the choo-choo up. This started in Montana, you said?
Yeah.
And then it moved here. But now, is this a religion that's still trying to participate in?
Yes.
Seriously?
They still have a 501c3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even after all this time? That's interesting.
Yeah, there's some weirdness.
Are they still in Montana, too?
They're still in Montana.
Oh, okay.
Creators are taught to hate their enemies and non-whites, which are Jews, niggers, and mud races.
God, horrible people. Keep going.
To avoid gullible or superstitious and shun sexual deviation, including homosexuality.
Well, there's a surprise.
Miscegenation, whining or complaining, and social interaction with non-whites.
They've said that several times now.
Yeah, non-whites.
Non-whites, non-whites, non-whites.
Oh, this thing, it's ridiculous.
And this, it's amazing that you're finding these damn religions, because you found another one last time.
Yeah, but this nowhere near as bad as this one. Raelians are calm.
I know, but it's just, and Christianity thinks they're the only one.
So,
anyways, continue.
One of their scriptures is the natural eternal religion, is the founding text, divided into two sections, each of which may be considered a separate book. You know, like Old and New Testament.
Oh, Lord, okay.
The first one is Unavenged Outrage, and the second one is The Salvation.
Boy, you could just make up anything you want, can't you, and say, hey, it's religion, we're good. Or tax status, I'm telling you.
Yeah. The first chapter examines nature and what Clausen sees as natural law. The second chapter calls the white race nature's finest.
Yeah, okay, there's a flaw in that statement right there.
Well, here's where it gets a little weird.
Uh-huh.
The first book critiques Christianity, including the Christian Bible, many biblical stories, including those of Adam and Eve.
That's funny.
Jonah and the whale and the resurrection of Jesus are considered historically unlikely, and they also question the historicity of Jesus.
So, interesting.
According to Creativity, Christianity is a violent religion that has killed 1,000 fellow Christians for every Christian killed by the Romans.
So let me ask you this. They do not want you conversing with non-whites.
Right.
They haven't specifically mentioned any violence towards them, have they?
No.
Because otherwise that would be very hypocritical if they're saying that about the Bible.
Right. Adherents do not believe in the existence of Jesus, rejecting Christian teachings as suicidal poison created by the Jews. And that's why, because it's created by the Jews.
Okay.
And foisted on the white race, which is, if you want to get technical, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity spread through Europe kind of by force and by coercion.
Uh-huh.
So I can see their point.
Uh-huh.
I don't agree with the rest of it.
Continue.
Creators also reject the golden rule, saying that it does not make good sense and, at a closer look, is a completely unworkable principle.
So do unto others as you've had them do unto you is a bad idea?
Yeah, apparently.
So do what you want to them regardless of what the hell they do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that what they
See,
want?
I prefer the platinum rule.
Uh-huh.
Do unto others as they would have done unto them.
I have to think about that for a minute.
Okay. Not everybody likes the same stuff.
Yeah. No, okay? I get that.
So there's things that I like that other people may not like. And
so don't put your stuff
onto
them.
Don't put my stuff onto them. Do what they want you to do.
So treat people
how they
the way they want to be treated.
Exactly. Okay.
You could have just said that. That would have been easier for me to get.
I just changed it.
Well, I like mine better. It's simple.
And
anyways, continue.
They do have several holidays.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yes. Creators are encouraged to observe them, spending time with their families and friends.
Okay.
On January 26th, commemorates the initial British landing on the Australian continent in 1788. That's South Victory Day. I don't know.
Why? Okay, sure.
On February 20th, which is Clausen Day, is the anniversary of its founder's birth in 1918. Founding Day, which is February 21st, is the anniversary of the publication of Nature's Eternal Religion in 1973.
Okay, sure.
And then we have Rahowa Day.
I don't think so, but sure.
Yeah.
Foundation Day.
Yeah, it's another. Yeah, it's Foundation Day, which is March 20th, anniversary of the foundation of the World Center in 1982, and the reminder of a racial war.
Okay.
Then we got Kozel Day or Martyrs Day, which is September 15th, commemorates Brian Kozel, who died on this date in 1992. I don't know who the hell he was.
Either way, they're making this shit up like crazy, but continue.
And Festum Album, sure. December 26th through January 1st, a week-long celebration of white racial pride commemorating the Wounded Knee Massacre.
Whoa, back the choo-choo up. What?
The mud people, apparently.
Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, this is...
So this is a celebration to...
Of a massacre of Native Americans.
I know damn well what it is. I like to study Native American stuff a lot in my own personal time, but that's not the point. They celebrate that shit for a week?
Yeah.
Which is also the, like, week between Christmas and New Year's. That's kind of convenient. Yeah.
But they don't celebrate Christmas because that's a dirty Jew holiday.
Because they would be copying, too.
Yeah.
But that's insane. What, of all the things to have a holiday and celebrate for, they stuck that in? Most of them were about certain people who were born or died or did this or whatever.
And those actually
and then
make
they
sense?
Stick, yeah, but then they stick this one in.
Yeah.
There was a lot of different things they could have stuck in for that, but they picked that.
I don't know.
I don't even understand the point of that.
We are talking a bunch of white racists.
Yeah, but, okay, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah. Creativity was recognized as a religion by the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin in Peterson versus Wilmer Communications. Hmm. The newspaper had demoted Peterson after he was interviewed for a story about creativity. Peterson was a supervisor and had three non-white employees under him.
Okay.
So the newspaper felt that he would be unfair.
Uh-huh.
Which is a reasonable assumption.
Uh-huh.
However, Peterson had no history of overt racism in the workplace, and the court decided in his favor, saying the employer had demoted him solely for his religious beliefs, thereby making creativity a religion.
That's just so weird. I mean, you literally can make something up and call it a religion, and voila. Because that's pretty much what they just did.
That is what they did.
That's totally what they did.
Yeah.
So, let's see, 1973 when this came about, what were they smoking?
I don't know. But this is probably the most racist religion I've ever found and ever heard of.
Proudly, no less,
yes,
too.
This is full of white supremacists.
So you don't happen to know how many members, huh?
No, I did not get to that number.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it's...
I've never even heard of it.
You know, I'm thinking it's probably in the maybe as much as 100,000.
Seriously? That many?
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody should look it up for me and let me know.
That what you learn every day.
And there you go.
I guess. Horrible people, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Why can't people be nice to each other? What is the deal?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously. Be human to each other. Be sweet. Be nice. Respect people's choices to make what they want. But in that case, I guess I have to respect their choice to believe what they want to believe as far as this crazy crap.
Right. So long as they're not imposing it on other people.
Well, they want members, so...
Well, yeah, they want members, but
they plan on getting them?
They want members who already believe this. They're not out trying to go out and actively convert...
Knock on your door.
Yeah, they're not knocking on the door, right?
Right.
They are just reaching out to people who already believe this way.
Yeah.
From what I understand. Now, I think their beliefs are ridiculous and harmful.
And hurtful and...
But then I believe Christian belief is ridiculous and hurtful and harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, most religions are.
Right.
This one is just a little different.
Cruel, I think. Well, they don't specify anywhere about acting on anything as far as physical acting.
Not that I could find.
I mean.
But then, you know, it's pretty new religion. There's not a whole lot out there about it.
Right. And we don't know what has gone down, you know, unless
right.
you happen to find something.
Right.
But so. As far as their little description of their belief systems, I guess each his own, but just seems like, why can't people just be nice to each other? But I guess I live in this make-believe world or something, or wish for it, I guess I could say instead.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's all the yakking I got for you.
Yeah, I'm good.
And we will see you next week.
That's usually how it goes.
Okay. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.